Isn't he just wonderful?
Amen.
I mean, he is just wonderful, exceeding abundantly above.
Amen.
Amy, would you just stand right there for a second? New songs, Amy. New songs. Many new songs. Some just for you in the morning to sing to him. Some during the day for the children, but many new songs of ministry that will literally bring healing and deliverance to those that hear them. Simple songs, easily heard and easily sung songs, but songs that bring heaven to earth, songs from heaven sung through you. Expect it, write them down, enjoy them, and share them. And watch the light and life of God flow into the lives of the people. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to do something tonight. You have to give me 1 second. I heard a scripture, and I want to see if that was for me or if it was for you. So you can get all comfy and get yourself settled. You know, women like to nest, so I understand when you just got to sit down and get your stuff all settled. Yes, it is for all of us. Would you turn to Psalm 1 for me, please? This is important for us because it's our attitude in these days. This morning we talked about it. I'm sure your pastors talk to you about it on a regular basis, but in these days and times where the world is in such turmoil, the body of Christ's life, our individual lives, bye, have fun storming the castle. You are so blessed with the most precious children. My grandbabies would just fit right in here. This is wonderful. But in this time, when the world is in turmoil and people are looking for answers, the answers are not going to come from their standard expectations and places. They've got to come from the body of Christ. And for us to have the answers for the world, we receive the answers that we need ourselves first. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But here's what's important. There are only two kingdoms in this world. Are you aware of that? There's the kingdom of life, kingdom of light, or the kingdom of darkness. That's it. God is asking you for your words. The devil is trying to trick you out of your words. Because your words will either cause the kingdom of heaven to manifest in your life, or your words will cause darkness to manifest, even though you are a child of God. So, thinking, well, you know, the Lord know I didn't mean that. Well, the Lord may know it, but your mind may not. Because when we speak words of death, or we go, well, you know, that's just the way it is, or that, all of those things impact our thinking so that we begin to accept things that aren't ours to accept. I consider myself a normal Christian with an extraordinary God. And I want you to begin to see yourself as a normal Christian. A normal Christian is not a natural person. A normal Christian is a supernatural person having an experience where he controls the world around him. That's the normal Christian life. If you've never read the book by Watchman Nee, I think it's called The Normal Christian Life. It's a powerful book. He was in prison in China for the last 27 years of his life. In fact, when he wrote the book, he was in prison. A most powerful understanding of who you are, what God made you to be, and what you look like. Because the day that you were born again, there was a break in your timeline. And that old man is dead. He's dead and he's gone. And everything that happened before then, every gift, every talent, anything that you may have had, the Lord's not interested in it. What he wants is the you now, totally filled with him, filled with his life, a new creation altogether, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Something that the world has never seen before, a man filled with God. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of God. But you are a person wholly flooded with the life of God. And so things should look different. So let's look at Psalm 1, the first couple of verses here. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Those are all your choices. If you want to hang out at the water cooler with the people that go, yeah, how was your weekend? And you go, well, I had a great time at church on Sunday. You still go to church? Why do you do that? Scorners. Scorners. Sinners. Ungodly. You are sent to minister to them, to love them, and to show them the light of God, but not to hang out and just listen to their stuff. Because it gets in, and it's difficult for your thinking to start sorting things out. You will know where the Lord is saying, step into there and step out of there. Recently, I knew of a man of God that felt it necessary by the leading of the Lord to get off of Facebook because all of his friends were scorners. And he said, I chose to be a part of those conversations of what everybody thought about everything. And he said, I realized it was really not good for me as a man of God to do that. And so I'm not saying get off of Facebook, but if you've got friends that are always, their conversation is not edifying, exhorting, or lifting you up, you might want to stay their friend, but block their posts and not get involved in conversations that they do. So I'm telling you, this is straight from the throne of God. This was not what I planned to do tonight. I'm all sweetness and light. I mean, I always want to bring the word that's just like, oh, she's so nice. But the Lord is really wanting to read a little bit of mail tonight before we get into stuff. That man does not do those things. The blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, that man that chooses the word of God, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Right. That's right. I prayed for somebody today that said, I want to be debt free. This is a picture of how you get debt free. Where are you sitting yourself? What are you listening to? If you've got things that are coming against your body or your family, same kinds of things. We, to walk above the natural, we choose to put our attention above the natural and not on the things of this earth. Amen? Okay. Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight is what I spoke to you this morning, which is Jesus taking you from where you are to where you need to be to receive that which is the deepest desire of your heart, the need for your body, the need for your family, wisdom or direction. And it tells us in Hebrews that Jesus is the author and the finisher, the creator and the developer of our faith. He will help us by the Holy Ghost, because he said that when he went to be with the Father, he was sending the Holy Ghost to us, and that the Holy Ghost would be with us the same way he was with him. Now, here's a key. If you write down in your notes John 5:30, Jesus said, I only do the things that I'm led to do. I don't make my own decisions. I decide as I'm bidden to decide. We know that in John 12 and in other places, he has said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. Now, he's doing that in ministry, but his ministry was his life call. You may be a teacher. You may be a nurse. You may be a businessman. But that same leading of the Holy Spirit to be successful in anything you do, healed, delivered, and set free, walking full of joy and in total peace, is available to every child of God. And the way we get it is by learning to listen to Him. Learning to settle down and know that He will talk to me like that. And you could be 7 or you could be 70. He will speak to you. So to see these babies up here worshiping God and enjoying the presence of God, that blesses me mightily. They're happy in church. They know they're welcome here. They're wanted here. Glory to God. So I want to share with you tonight 3 different pictures of Jesus helping people to get from where they were to where they needed to be to receive that they came to get. And He'll do it with all of us. Sometimes the answers will be very simple. Very simple and easy to do. About 1.5 years ago, I started having really bad pains in my left leg and on the outside. And it didn't seem to be anything I could do to make it go away. I spoke the word. I did what I was supposed to do. Well, I thought I'd listened, but I decided one day just to sit in a chair and listen to the Lord. And so I sat for a while and said, Lord, what do I need to know? And I heard one word. Shoes. That was it. Shoes. I said, shoes. Okay. Father, I received that. Shoes. Well, I don't wear spike heels or any of those kinds of things. And when we're around the house and when I'm walking and working in the yard, I usually try to wear Merrells or tried to wear them, things that were good for your feet. But the problem was they were too heavy. And I didn't know it. And they were causing me to torque. So I had a pair of but I still didn't know it was lightweight. All I knew was shoes. So I went in my closet and I went, okay, these are the ones I've been wearing. And I looked over here and I had a pair of black lightweight Rockports. And so I thought, okay, I'll start wearing those. That was it. Healed. Totally delivered. All the pain gone. Sometimes our problems are natural. It's like Pastor Carl when the Lord said, you're healed of diabetes. Now have a healthy lifestyle. So sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it's a little more involved, like I need for you to change your mouth. Been there too. What you're saying about something, how you're perceiving something, so that you don't say what you see, you say what God said. This is very key. These are life-changing things. When the Lord said that we could have heaven on earth in Deuteronomy, He meant it. He meant that we could really have heaven on earth, everything working right, everything being really good. I mean really good, so that your neighbors are coming to you going, hey, listen, I know that we've gone through the same things you have. How are you doing this? I know what it's like down at the plant. How come you're just having all of these great things happen? You go, I have the favor of God on my life. Well, how do you do that? I say what He says. I expect His favor. He told me to. So let's start off and let's look. Let's see, where are we going to go first? We're going to start with Mark 5, and we're going to look at Jairus. Now, I'm going to go through these quickly except for the last one. But we're going to start with Mark 5 because I want you to see how practical the Lord was. And remember, the Lord only said what He heard the Father say. He only did what He saw the Father do. So when you read things that He said, you need to know He's listening to the Father. He's learned to commune with the Father in such a way that He knows exactly what to say. You know, when you hear that, well, He got up a great hour before dawn and He went and He communed with the Father, and you're thinking, or He prayed, sometimes that word prayer just makes people think, I don't know how to do that. Can you talk? Because that's all it is a conversation with God. But this one extra part, that after you get through talking, you allow Him to talk. That you don't just run in, give him your list and go, thanks God, and run out. Because it's not that he minds you doing that, but you're missing the best part. One of the funniest testimonies I ever heard was a man that was, he was a general in the army or something, but anyhow, it came to him one day, and he said, I was on the floor crying out to God, just crying out to God. And he goes, all of a sudden it dawned on him, and he said, here lies a man that knows nothing, doing all the talking to the one that knows everything. Choir directors of life have been known to do that. So we want to have that opportunity to hear. If I hadn't gotten a quiet and I had just said, Lord, my legs, then what do I do? And gotten up and left, I might not have heard that little quiet word, choose, which set me free. Now, in Mark 5, we know that, we'll start in verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. And Jesus went with him. Now, along the way, they encounter a woman who has heard of Jesus, a woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had not gotten any better. She had only gotten worse. She'd lost all of her money going to doctors, but she had heard of Jesus. And she came and she touched the hem of his garment because she had said, if I can do this, I will have that. And she made such a demand on the anointing of God that it says Jesus perceived that virtue went out of him, the power of God. Well, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, who could have stoned her, could have called at that moment and told them to come stone her because here is a woman who should never be out in public. He didn't. And he waited while she gave her testimony. And now come down to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble you the master any further? That's pretty much the worst report he could have gotten, isn't it? What does Jesus say to him? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now, I doubt that he said it just like that. Let's say it like we do today. He heard the same report Jairus did. He knew by the Father what was going on inside of Jairus. And he said, stop the fear, only believe. What needed to be dealt with? When you get a bad report, what's the first thing that happens to you? Fear comes on you like something tangible. Some people, it's the pit of their stomach. Some people start to sweat. Some people just get locked up. But fear comes in a tangible way when you get it. And Jesus said, stop the fear, only believe. And he did. He followed the Lord's leading. And he went with him. They went to the house. And when Jesus said to them, why are you tumulting? She's not dead, she's asleep. What did they do? They scorned him. He put them all out and allowed only James and John and the mother and father to come in with him. And he said, rise up. Now feed her. But he stopped and gave that man what he needed. He came for his daughter to be raised up. When the report came, he knew exactly what to say to the man so that the man could do what needed to be done to get what he came for. The fear had to be stopped. So there's one practical example. Now turn over to Luke 5. I'm saying this to you for quite a few reasons. Number one, when we have a service like we had this morning, and the presence of God was so sweet and so wonderful, the enemy comes immediately to steal the word that you heard and the joy of what happened. Chris, thank you so much for bringing it back to people's remembrance. We need to live out of this goodness of God and not let the enemy steal it from us. And to have you go, I saw a few things, but no, don't let your mind do that. Reasoning can stop the power of God in your life, trying to get it all figured out. Now, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. We're going to start in verse 17. We're not going to finish it all. I'm only giving you like little teasers with these because I want to give you the meat of it so we can see what God wants to do tonight. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. We have not one report of the Pharisees or the Sadducees being healed. Not one. The power of the Lord was present to heal. But they were reasoning and looking for ways to catch him, trying to figure out what he was doing and where his power came from. And though the power of God was present to heal, not one of them received a thing. Scorners, scoffers, don't receive anything. Let's keep going. And behold, men brought a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now let's stop right there for a second. This took faith. I mean, this man is on a pallet. He cannot walk. These men also had great faith. They looked for a way to get their friend in. They brought him, and they weren't going to be stopped. Sometimes we think, I don't know what to do. I don't want to go up there. I mean, I know people are getting healed, but they weren't going to be stopped. Don't ever, ever let the promises of God be stopped. Not ever in your life. Press through like the woman that had the issue of blood. She doesn't have it anymore. She was healed that day, but press through. Verse 20, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. That man, in order to receive his healing, had to hear that his sins were forgiven, because in those days, sickness was a punishment for sin. It's the way they thought. And so in order for this man to receive, even after all of this, all this effort, he had to hear that first so that he could receive. This one I want to keep reading a little bit. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Now here's something to underline in your Bible. Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. I want you to notice something right here. Jesus says, which is easier? If it's which is easier, does that not mean that they are both easy? So if we say, you know, if somebody comes in and they go, the pastor gives an altar call, and they come up to be saved. They came up to come up to receive Jesus. Does pastor stop and say, y'all extend your hands toward him? We want to make sure that he receives his salvation day. We need all the power we can get. You'd look at your pastor and go, pastor, just offer him Jesus. He'll say yes. So why do we make healing hard when Jesus says, which is easier? It's easy. Where does it need to be easy? It needs to be easy in here. Because as far as God's concerned, it's yours already. But Sometimes we think, particularly if things take a little time, well, I must have missed it some way. No, just take a little time. Well, no, don't look at those things. Don't look at your past. Don't look at anything except, Jesus, this is what you said, and so that's what I've got. I take it. So this man needed to hear that his sins were forgiven so that he could receive. So the Father revealed it to the Lord. The Lord spoke it to him, and he had exactly what he came for. These two were pretty simple. I want to turn to one now that I think will help you more than any of the others, and that's Matthew 15. We're going to look at the woman from Canaan. Because there is so much to learn from this woman. So we've talked before, and we said, in any situation, whether it's healing, whether it's direction in business, whether for students, for your college career, or whatever career God has got for you, maybe you are to go to a trade school, whatever it is, you go to the Father and you go, Father, I'm coming to you to find out about this. What word do I need to know first? Where do I start? And then, Father, is there any word that I need to be saying? Is there anything that I need to be doing? Remember, it may not always be something that you do. There may be resting instead. But start with him. Expect him to give you wisdom, and he will. You know, if you need wisdom, you just start in Proverbs, and you go through those first 8 chapters of Proverbs. And I mean, getting wisdom from God becomes, he makes it so clear that he's standing in the street corners crying out, come and receive the wisdom of God to do the things that you need to do. Now, Matthew 15, we're going to start in verse 21, and we're going to read her story, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed and with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which falleth from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Does that sound like Jesus to you? When I first read this, I thought, that doesn't sound like Jesus. It doesn't sound like how he treats people or what he does. And I thought, but Lord, when the centurion, who wasn't a Jew, he wasn't of the house of Israel, came to you, and he told you that he came for his servant, you said, I'll go with you to his house. And the centurion said, you don't need to come to my house. You just say the word. But he was willing to go. So this didn't fit. I didn't understand until I asked the Lord to help me and to begin to break it down and to do a little bit of study on the history. First of all, when he went into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he was on his way someplace. This was not a part of Israel. She was not a Jew. She was one of those Canaan people. She was a Canaanite. They were not friends with the Jews. And when she came to him and she cried out to him, she said, thou son of David, had mercy on me. She had no covenant with him. She had no right to call upon his name as the son of David. She was using another man's words. She was desperate. She had heard what he'd done. She'd seen what he'd done. But she was coming not in her faith, but she was coming from what she had heard other people say out of her desperation. Remember, the Lord's taken her from where she is to where she needs to be. So then his disciples come and they say, Lord, she keeps crying, send her away. And he said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. And she comes now and she's moving forward. And she comes and it falls at his feet and she says, Lord, help me. She came and worshiped him and said, Lord, help me. She went from somebody who was desperate using another person's words. Now she's beginning to call him Lord herself and cries out, please help me. But he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Anyone that was not a Jew was called a dog, but he's not referring to that dog term here. In the houses in those days, only small dogs were allowed in the house. Once they got big, Pastor, they were put outside. But it's small dogs. So it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the little dogs under the table. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She's not offended. She's not bitter. She doesn't walk away. I mean, if the Lord had said something like that to us, you know, we don't give things to the dogs on the table. It's just for the children. She goes, she doesn't get offended. She doesn't say anything to him contrary. She doesn't even let that stop her at all. You have no idea how much unforgiveness and offense stop the things that God wants to do in our lives. She wasn't. She wouldn't even hear that. By now, he has raised her to a point where she says to him, I understand that, but you only need to do that much. A crumb is all it would take for my daughter to be healed. She has gone from a woman who had no covenant, no right to come, no understanding whatsoever, and he in this short time brought her from all of that, tried her faith, helped her see what she needed. She came and worshiped him and said, it doesn't take anything from you for my daughter to be healed. And he goes, woman, great is your faith, and your daughter's whole. And when this kind of demon that this woman's daughter had was considered to be the worst that there was, the greatest torment that there could be, and now she's free. Because Jesus, by the leading of the Father through the Holy Ghost, knew where she was and what she needed to hear and what she needed to do to get what she came for. So I'm inviting you tonight to take more time with the Father. Every one of us in this room have things in our life that need his attention. I'm not saying they're all desperate like these people, but they require his attention, not ours, because our ways are not high enough without his ways on top of them. Amen. Remember, he is the one that puts his super on our natural to make us supernatural. And so I'm inviting you to begin to expect the supernatural in your life all the time. I want to say to you again, I want to turn this time to John 10:10. Because this is something that I want you to keep in your mind. Because the enemy is wily. He's a liar and a thief, but he's wily. And he'll just bring things in softly like he did to Eve and say, hath God said, did you really? Are you sure that was? All those kinds of questions. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The Amplified says, and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's the life that you were meant to have in Him. That's the way it's supposed to look. It's the abundant life. So what you can do, I used to do this a long time ago when I was first learning these things and teaching Bible studies. Get a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, write God good on this side, devil bad on this side. Put all the good things on the God side and all the bad things on the devil side, and don't ever let them cross over. I know you go, well, that's really simple. Yeah, but God is not complicated in His gospel. It's very simple. It's the gospel of good news. That's what gospel means. It's good news. Good news does not use sickness, does not use disease, does not torment you, does not try to teach you something through any kind of ailment. I'm going to tell you a funny story because this was long ago. And so all I remember is the lady's first name was Barbara, but this was 20 years ago. We were leading a prayer group before service in the mornings, and we were, I mean, it was a room about this big, and there were usually about this many people in it, and this woman comes in, and we were just having a marvelous time in God, and she comes in with a cast on her leg and crutches. And we were like chicken on a bug. Let's get this cast off of her. Let this woman be prayed for. I've been in Tennessee too long, I can tell. And she comes in and she goes, oh, no, don't you touch me. She said, God did this to me, and don't you try to tell me not. I got to pray for the lady in the next bed because of this broken leg. And I went, okay. How are you going to reach somebody that's thinking and talking like that? It's not going to happen. And so I left it at that, because couldn't you have just gone to visit the lady in the next bed and prayed for her and got her healed and gone home and been whole? But see, sometimes the enemy comes with this crazy stuff. And if we're tired or run down or just kind of, oh, I don't know, Lord, why is it taking so long? You know, I just saw something this week for the first time. You know, in Matthew 6, when Jesus is talking and he's going that to look at the birds and look at the lilies and look at all the things that God has done, and he wants to take care of you. And he says, take no thought saying. The next thing that he brings up are questions. Questions. Why? Oh, let's just go over there and look. Matthew 6. It's just back a little way. Matthew 6 is wonderful. You know, I used to say I have a favorite scripture. I've just given up on saying that because there are too many that are too good. Okay, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body and what you shall put on. Because he goes, he's telling them that when you start asking yourself all these questions, that's reasoning. Well, where's it going to come from? And how's it going to manifest? And how is this going to be? And how is this? How? All you're doing is diminishing your ability to receive by faith. Because all he wants you to do is say, Lord, I trust you. And I know you'll show me. And I don't have to take a care about those things. It's not necessary for you to care. Satan has no right to put sickness and disease on you. He has no right to do anything to you contrary to the word of God. And he can't unless he gets some agreement from us. When we start taking these things and trying to reason with them and figure them out, we just need to stop and start worshiping the Lord. Just start praising him. Let praise fill your mouth. For one reason, because the enemy hates it. It'll also stop your thinking. The other thing is you can start praying in tongues. You can really just begin to tap into those kinds of things. So, could you come up to the keyboard again? And I would really like to see what the Lord would like to do tonight. Amen. I would really like to see. We had such a glorious morning with him. I think we just all need to take some time and worship him. That's really what's in my heart. There may be other things that come out of that tonight, but I believe just taking some time. And when I say worship him,